the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. I'm reading from verse 44 through verse 50. We'll come back and read together verse 44, which is the key verse of our passage this morning. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe in me? Why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Going back to verse 44, shall we read together? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Heavenly Father, we pray now that thou wilt make thy word to live in our hearts and minds this morning, and grant that we shall know of a surety that you are speaking to us, that the truth that Jesus speaks so much about is being laid out before us this morning. And may we respond to your truth, we pray, and not give heed to Satan's lies. We ask your blessing to this end in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. The Jews to whom the Lord Jesus was speaking at this time claimed to be the children of Abraham. You'll notice in verse 33, they answered him, We be Abraham's seed. And in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. So they were claiming a special niche in the heart of God and claiming acceptance with God on the basis of the fact that they were Abraham's children. Now it is true that they were the natural descendants of Abraham. So according to the flesh, they were the descendants of Abraham. But Jesus indicates that they were not the moral or spiritual children of Abraham. In other words, they were not the believers. They were not regenerate persons. They were not responding as Abraham had in faith to God. You notice he emphasizes that in verse 39. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So they were not living in the pattern of Abraham, morally or spiritually, although they were natural descendants. So the Lord Jesus rejects their claim to being true children of Abraham. Secondly, they claim to be the children of God. Notice verse 41. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. So they claimed that God was their Father, in other words, that they were the spiritual children of God. Jesus rejects this claim on their part. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So Jesus rejects their claim to being the children of God, saying that if they were the children of God, they would obviously accept God's Son, who was Jesus, who came forth from God the Father. So we'll see the movement here then. They claim to be the children of Abraham. Jesus says, not really. Naturally, yes, but not spiritually and not morally. They claim to be the children of God. Jesus says, no, because you are rejecting God who is with you, me, the Son of God who is here, who came forth from the God the Father. So obviously, you are not the children of God. Now then, in our key verse 44, he comes out clearly and tells them who they are. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And so he makes very clear that they were not the children of Abraham. They were not the children of God. They were, in fact, the children of Abraham. He speaks then of a relationship between them and the devil, between them and Satan. It is not here that the Lord Jesus is indicating that they were demon-possessed. He is not indicating that they were possessed by Satan. He is not indicating some kind of a counterfeit birth to the spiritual birth. You see, Jesus had said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born of God, the Holy Spirit. You must be born into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. He is not saying that they are born by some counter spiritual birth into Satan's family. All he is saying is that they bear resemblance to Satan. They are like Satan. And in that sense, Satan is their father because they are bearing resemblance to him. This is what he is speaking about here, what he is saying, you are of your father, the devil. Now this likeness to the devil, this likeness to Satan, is seen in a twofold way. You will notice the Lord says, the lusts of your father ye will do. That doesn't just mean you are going to do the desires of Satan at some future time. What he is really saying here is, the lusts of your father, it is your will to do. In other words, you will to do what Satan wishes for you to do. The word lust means an intense craving, a strong desire. It's usually used in the New Testament in an evil sense of the word. And so the evil cravings that Satan put into their minds and hearts, these they volitionally, they willfully, they will to do, and the tense is continuous, they will to keep on doing what Satan wanted them to do. This is manifest, as I've already indicated, in a twofold way. Number one, he was a murderer from the beginning. Number two, he is a liar and the father of it. So the inclination to destroy life and the propagation of lies in contrast to the truth are the two things that Jesus centers upon. These things are characteristic of the devil, and they were at that time characteristic of them. Let us think about this for a moment. Satan, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. What does that mean? Well, it may mean in a figurative sense that Satan is the murderer or the destroyer of the whole human race. In a sense, he is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. You'll remember back in the Garden of Eden that God had blessed Adam and Eve with the blessing, bountiful blessing of that wonderful place. And he said, this is all yours. It's for you to enjoy as long as you are dependent upon me. As long as you are subject to me, as long as you will acknowledge your proper relationship to me, you may have all of this. And that proper relationship was to be evidenced in the fact that they would not take of one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They would obey God. They would be subject to the will of God, to the word of God. They would not partake of that tree. Thus, everything else was theirs on the basis of obedience to the will and word of God. But you remember how that Satan deceived Eve and Adam disobeyed God, and they took of that fruit. And in taking of that fruit, they died spiritually. They were alienated from God. And they began to die physically. They became mortal. So that when we get to the fifth chapter of Genesis, we find sort of a death dirge. It says Adam lived so many years and he died, and Seth lived so many years and he died, and so-and-so lived so many years and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. So death has entered the human race, both spiritually and physically. So in a sense, Satan brought about the destroying of man's life, spiritually and physically. But not only so, the Lord Jesus may be referring to the fact that immediately man listened to Satan, we have murder being committed amongst men, men with men. We find, for example, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, that Cain, the first boy born into the human race, born of Adam and Eve, killed his brother Abel, who was likewise their child, the second child, Abel. Cain lifted up his hand and killed him. And it's an interesting comment in 1 John chapter 3. Listen to this. In verse 12, 1 John 3:12, it says that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. So it is clear that Cain was motivated by the wicked one, by the devil, by Satan. And being moved by Satan, he killed his brother. Sometimes people say to me, if there is a God, how come all this war? How come all this people murdering one another? How come all this crime? If there is a God, how come all of this is going on? It's because that men have responded to Satan, initially in the Garden of Eden, and continuously. And part of that response is man destroying man. And sometimes it isn't actually the taking of physical life, but sometimes people destroy one another in a confrontation with words and actions, such that people are destroyed of each other. So Satan is a destroyer of life, as we see immediately in the Garden of Eden. It's interesting, when we come to the New Testament, the same thing is said to us. In Acts chapter 5, where Peter speaks to Ananias, who is lying to God, and he says, Ananias, Satan hath filled your heart to lie against the Lord, against God the Holy Spirit. So Satan is filling the heart of Ananias against the Lord. So we see here in this particular section the identification of that sin of murder in the part of Satan, evidenced in the part of these people. Notice verse 37, where it says, "There I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." These very people that Jesus was speaking to were plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is a murderer from the beginning, says the Lord. They, at that time, were seeking to murder him. Thus, they were children of the devil, since they bore that resemblance and likeness to him. Now, the second thing, as I already suggested, is that Satan is a liar and the father of it. We already noted in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, the very first words that Satan says to Eve, to man, are words of deception and words of question against the truth of God. And finally, an outright lie. God says, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Satan says, Genesis 3 verse 4, he says, you shall not surely die. Somehow it won't work out that way. Instead of dying, as a matter of fact, he says in verse 5, you yourselves will be like gods. In other words, it's better to disregard what God says. It's better to do what I say. You'll be better off in the long run. I already suggested we find lying in the New Testament as motivated by Satan. And Satan is still telling his lies today. What are some of Satan's lies? I want you to help. I want to help you identify the lies of Satan that he tells today. There are many of them. Many of them. He lies to saints and sinners alike. Here are some of his lies, mainly in respect to the non-believer. Lie number one. The Bible is a myth, and it's full of contradictions. You can't possibly trust it. Now, that's one of the lies that I find that feed back to me constantly as I talk to people. The Bible is just a myth, legend. And just these things grew up over a period of time, and they're just fantasy. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Bible is not legend. The Bible is not myth. The Bible is not fantasy. Paul Peter says, we followed not cunningly devised fables. The Bible isn't like the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. The Bible isn't like the story of Santa Claus. The Bible has to do with real people whose names we find inscribed in secular history. The Bible deals with real events, which events we find confirmed in secular history. The Bible speaks about geographical facts and places and chronology, dates. speaking about things that we can find affirmed by secular sources. The Bible is dealing with historical facts and not with myths. It is not full of contradictions. Those who speak of contradictions in the Bible many times find great difficulty in even suggesting one or two. But as these are suggested, and as we notice carefully what the Scripture says in the original manuscripts, we find that the contradictions fade, and we find that indeed the passages are confirmatory and many times complementary to one another. It is a lie, but Satan keeps telling it, and people keep believing it. The Bible is full of myths. It's just man's book. It's full of contradictions. You can't trust it. Josh McDowell has written a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. If any of you are interested in this particular lie of Satan, I encourage you to get the book from the library. Take time, and it will take your time, because it's concerned with factual data. And look through the book carefully, and you will find that the Bible is the most credible ancient document of 2,000 years date, approximately, that we have in the world today. Far more credible than Caesar's Gallic Wars, which is used in our high school as a Latin reader. Far more credible than Tacitus' history or Josephus' history, which is filled with inaccuracies. The Bible is credible. The Bible is reliable. The Bible is, to all intents and purposes, in the original language and with a good translation in our hands, the Word of God. But Satan says it's a myth. It's man's word. It's full of contradiction. That's a lie. Here's another lie. Faith is for the dark ages. It's a security blanket for the simple and the uneducated. We're living in a very enlightened age today. We're living in the scientific age. We can put men on the moon. That's true, but we can't solve Earth's problems. But we don't talk about that. We're living in a very enlightened age today. And this faith business is for the medieval ages. And today, we don't need that kind of thing. I remind you that very intelligent people today, ones in all fields of life, in all vocations of life, from all branches of life, from all races of mankind, are dedicated believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are people that have it together. They are people who do not need some of the other security blankets that non-believers need, the cop-outs from the real world in which we are living. To be a believer is to face the world as it is and to know that God has a plan and that God is in charge and moving on to a glorious consummation. And we move on in faith with Him. Here's another lie of Satan. Follow the example of Jesus and you'll get to heaven. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people sitting in congregations throughout our land and throughout our world who are hearing from the pulpit this lie of Satan. Follow the example of Jesus, and you'll get to heaven. In other words, do good, be good, try hard, and it'll all work out. Try to follow the life that Jesus lived. But what's the trouble with that? None of us can live the life that Jesus lived. None of us is sinless as Jesus is sinless. And therefore, we, all of us, need a Savior. Not an example, but a Savior. When the angel announced the birth of Christ from heaven, he didn't say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David an example, which shall be to all people." He didn't say that. He said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When the angel gave the message to the prince, he said that you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, whether we want to recognize it or not, God knows it, and it's truth. We are sinners, and we need a Savior. Satan says, wait a minute now. He said, just follow the example of Jesus, and it'll all work out all right. Along with that, he says something else. As long as you're sincere, you'll make it. Now, Mr. Ward, I realize that you're a very sincere man. I realize you really believe what you are telling me. But I'm sincere, too. And I have my way of looking at it, and you have your way of looking at it. And after all roads are going to lead to the same place. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the road that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leadeth unto judgment, and many there be that go in thereat. All roads do not lead to the same place. Paul wept, and he was in great emotional trauma over his own people Israel, as we find recorded in Romans in the New Testament. And he says, I would be cut off from God if it were possible, if my people could be saved. He says they have a zeal for God. They are sincere. Why, they even have certain pots that they cook in, and everything, every detail of their life is religiously oriented. They are zealous to the nth degree, he says, but not according to knowledge. Their zealousness is in ignorance. They are going about trying to establish their own righteousness, ignoring and rejecting the righteousness that God has made available through Jesus Christ. And sincerity will not save the soul. Not save the soul, but it's a lie of Satan. As long as you're sincere, you'll make it. Here's another one. Good people go to heaven. Well, that's bad both ways. On the one hand, it's bad for people who are morally good, and that's fine to be morally good. We need to be good in a human concept, a human sense of the term. But our goodness will not fit us for heaven. Jesus said to one of the goodest men of his day, he said, you must be born again. Paul says, look, if you have whereof to boast according to the flesh, I can boast more than you all, he says. He says, this is what I am humanly speaking. This is my human goodness. You find it in Philippians chapter 3. But when he gets to it, he says, it's all garbage. It's rubbish. It's no good. He says, I must have the righteousness which is of God in Jesus Christ, because my goodness is not good enough. That's a bad lie. It confuses the good man, but it disturbs and distresses and dismays and despairs the bad man. He says, well, if only good men can go to heaven, there's no hope for me then. But Jesus said to the thief on the cross, as he placed his faith in Christ, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So it is not whether we are good or bad, it is whether we are ready to acknowledge that we are sinners and come in our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the ticket to heaven, trusting in the Lord Jesus and having him put our sins away. Here's another lie of Satan. You won't be happy if you become a Christian. Well, you know, if you become one of those Christians, well, all the good things in life will have to go. You know those great times you're having? Man, that blast you're having, all that. That'll all go. You say, you know, you won't be have a good time anymore. You won't be happy. Well, the Lord Jesus doesn't take any good things from us. A lot of bad things sort of drop off like dead leaves off an old tree in the wintertime. You see, as it's going dormant for the winter. A lot of things that aren't really good in the final analysis, they're pleasures of sin, the Bible says, that last for a season, but they don't bring eternal satisfaction, eternal pleasure, and eternal fulfillment. They don't really enhance us as persons, but he brings into our lives the things that men are craving for: peace, a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance, real joy that bubbles over from our hearts. A knowledge of where I am now and where I'm going and what life is all about. He brings good things into our lives. Here's another lie of Satan. Well, it can't be that simple. How many times I've found this as I've sat down with people and trying to lead them to Christ and coming right to that point, understand the way of salvation now, realize they need to accept Christ, but Satan whispers a lie into their ear. It can't be that simple. Well, you mean just to turn from my sin, to repent of sin, and to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that right here and now I can become a new creature, my sins can be forgiven, God can accept me into his family, and I can know now that I'm on the way to heaven? It's too simple, says Satan. Certainly I have to strive through a great deal of religious works. Certainly I have to know a lot more. Certainly there's got to be a time of probation. Certainly there's got to be something beyond this, trusting in Christ and at this moment of time knowing that I'm saved. It's too simple. It's a lie of Satan. The way of salvation is indeed simple. It's not simplistic. There's a very costly plan of salvation. But God gave his Son to die for your sins. And now the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We'll soon be at the Christmas season. There'll be gifts around that tree for Dad, for Mom, for John, for Mary, whatever it might be. And on Christmas Day, you'll just receive that gift and you'll say thank you and you'll enjoy that gift. Very simple. But that's the way that that gift becomes yours and you come into the enjoyment of it. We think just recently of the pardon that was given by President Ford to President Nixon in the recent upheavals within our government. Here was a man who had committed crimes against the nation and in respect to his office, which would have brought impeachment, it is well thought. And he well thought so too. So much so that he resigned from office, and resigning from office, he was given a pardon. Very simply, all he had to do was to receive that pardon and be beyond the court case that could be brought against him. That man today stands free of any possibility of standing in court in respect of those charges because he simply received a pardon. And that's what God is offering to us today, a pardon through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too simple. No. That's God's gracious plan of salvation. The gift of God is eternal life. And God will offer us a pardon paid for in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Well, at that point in time, Satan's got another lie. He's always got them. I've listened to a lot of them, heard a lot of them come back to me too. At that point in time, when one tries to explain that's a lie, that's not true, here's what Satan says. Well, you've got lots of time. Don't think about making a commitment to Christ today. Don't think about accepting that salvation today. Don't think about really turning from your sin and turning to Christ today. Next week would be much better. Well, I can give you 10 reasons why next Sunday would be a better time to become a Christian than this Sunday. And so he says to the old man who's got one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel, he says, listen, fella, there's lots of time. There's lots of time. There's always tomorrow. But you know what God says? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Satan's lie is always tomorrow, always some other time. Now there's just a sampling of the lies of Satan. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He lied in the Garden of Eden to get us into all this trouble, and he continues to lie today to keep people from coming to Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. This world yet will see the greatest lie that Satan still has in his bag. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says that those who do not receive the truth will accept not just a lie, but the lie. Now, if you read that in its context, you will find that it is speaking of Satan's great masterpiece. A man motivated and possessed by Satan in league with a false prophet who is able to do deceiving miracles in a coming day. And many in this world will be deceived and swept into believing that this man, claiming to be God and demanding the worship of people, this man is Messiah. This man is God. That is the lie, the masterpiece of Satan. How did this happen? How could it happen? Sounds incredulous, doesn't it? Well, just think for a moment. We get little gleanings of this every once in a while. We have a man today by the name of Moon from Korea, and he claims to be Messiah. And he receives the worship of people as Messiah God. Not so many, but some. And what we see in a little miniature in connection with such men as Moon and many others before and since, I'm sure, we will see headed up in this man of sin, the masterpiece of Satan, and the world will bow down and acknowledge him. Those who receive not the truth in this period of time. Have you received the truth? What is the truth? The truth is what Jesus was saying. What was he saying? He was saying, I am the bread of life. I am the one to satisfy the soul need of men. I am the light of the world. You'll be in darkness and you'll be in danger and you'll be in destruction without me. But come to me, you'll have the light of life and know where you are and know where you're going. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. And he continues to say, I am, I am, I am. Why? Because the great Old Testament title, name of God, was I am that I am. In other words, the eternal, self-existent one. The prior cause to all that is. The one alone who is the source from which all things are, who himself has no beginning and no end, and is the ever-existing I am. That's the truth that they were called upon to accept, and that's the truth that we are called upon to accept. Notice, by the way, before we leave it, that Jesus speaks briefly of the career of Satan here. First of all, he speaks of the fact that the devil is a personal being. You notice he says, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus constantly spoke of Satan as being a personal being, a spirit being. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, where he speaks in connection with the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, sometimes so called, the disciples' prayer, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. More accurately, deliver us from the evil one. The evil one every day is seeking to lie to us and to deceive us and to take us into ways of destruction, destroying our life. Significantly, Jesus said, I come that they might have life. Satan's purpose is to take that life from us, to destroy that life, to minimize that life. And so we find Jesus referring to him as a personal being, not just the personalization of evil, in other words, not just a figurative personalizing of all the forces of evil. He is a person. Now, secondly, we notice that Jesus indicates that he is a fallen being. Notice in verse 44, he says he abode not in the truth. He did not remain. He did not continue standing in the truth. Was the devil one time in the truth? Yes. If we turn back to Isaiah chapter 14, you don't need to do it unless you care to. Reading in chapter 14 and verse 12, the first name with which we find this being referred to is the name Lucifer, Shining One, Son of the Morning. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Son of the Morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend unto the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There it is. That's what he wants. I will be like the Most High. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, the truth finally came out. And Satan said to him, look, fall down and worship me. I call that satanic insanity. Here is this being calling upon the Creator God of this universe to fall down and worship him. And Satan says, if you do, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Satan is looking to take the place of God. And when we are still listening to Satan's lies, we want to take the place of God. You say, I would never want to ascend to the throne of God. God wants to sit on the throne of your life. You are God's creature. God wants to control your life so that it will be life, so that it will be fulfilling, so that it will be meaningful, so that it will be enjoyable. God wants you, his creature, to respond to him. He speaks to the birds and he says, go south. And they do it. He speaks to you and you don't do anything about it. He wants to control your life. He wants to be the Lord and master of you as an individual, made as his masterpiece creation. Are you going to let him be the Lord of your life? Are you going to let him be sovereign king of your little domain? That's what it's all about, you see. And Satan was against this. And Satan is a fallen being. Lucifer fell from his place as one of the guardian angels at the throne of God because of pride within his heart, seeking to take the place of God. And he is a doomed being. Not here, but in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said in verse 41, the hell was made for the devil and his angels. And so in the book of Revelation chapter 20, at last, we see this wicked being cast into eternal damnation. The Lord wants you to be with him. He wants you to have life. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to take that life from you. Right now, he wants to continue to make your life more miserable, even if you can imagine it, than it is this morning. With all the turmoil working around inside of you, and you know that things are not right, and you wonder what's wrong, it's because you're on the throne, and Christ is beneath your feet, so to speak. Take Christ to the throne of your life. The scripture says, in the heart core kernel of truth, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, caused him to ascend to the heavens and to be seated on the throne of heaven, if you will acknowledge the kingship and sovereignty and almightiness of Jesus Christ in the universe and over your life, allowing him that place in your life, thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, belief is made unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Too simple. Can't be as simple as that. Well, there's lots of time to do it. Any other time but this morning. Those are Satan's lies, and this is the issue today as it was with these people that Jesus was facing. He says, you are children of the devil because you are like him. You're trying to destroy me, and you are listening to his lies. Do you want to be a child of God this morning? Then recognize that God loves you, that Jesus came to save you, that he died upon the cross because of your sins, that he wants to give you life, that he wants to make your life whole and fulfilling, that he wants to come in and direct you into a whole new pattern of living, that you'd be born into a new life. This is what God wishes for you. This is the truth of God. Will you receive him? Will you respond to him? Listen to what Jesus said as they responded in verse 48. They said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan? They just cast upon him the most mocking kind of a term that they could, because they, as you know, did not have any feeling for the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, the Samaritans were trying to constantly say that the Jews weren't the only people of God, that the Samaritans were also. And the Jews were saying, yes, we are the people of God and you are not. And so they said, you are just a Samaritan. Furthermore, you're demon-possessed. Well, Jesus answered quietly in verse 49, I do not have a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. If you would honor the Father, you must honor me. The Father comes to you through me. The issue between you and God is Jesus Christ. And this morning, you are going to respond and bow your heart and life at the feet of Jesus Christ, accepting this truth, or you are going to respond to one of Satan's lies. Either that truth is not true, or that you've got a better time to do it than this morning. Now, how about it? I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that will not submit himself to the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. These were sharp words that Jesus was saying. You're children of the devil. But if you go out of this meeting and express the life pattern, resemblance to Satan, listening to his lies, going on in a self-destruct pattern. That's what you're doing, destroying yourself through Satan's lies. You're children of the devil. I don't like to say that. But it's the resemblance situation there. Why not be a child of God and allow Jesus Christ to give you life?